Hello and welcome. I'm Philip Schleiss, and you are listening to the Voices of Sustainability podcast. Join us as we delve into the various strategies and challenges faced by the government, businesses, and nonprofits, all striving to balance economic growth with environmental and social responsibility. This season, from the University of South Carolina, our reporters are all business majors at the Darla Moore School of Business with a concentration in sustainability. They'll be talking with various organizations to highlight how they're working to improve the world we live in and conserve our natural resources. To explore the topic of sustainability, the episodes will explore how each person being interviewed defines sustainability, how the success of sustainability initiatives are measured in their organization, the motivations to be sustainable, and how to have a positive impact in your career. The conversations also provide insights into topics such as circular economy and recycling, innovation and technology in sustainability, as well as regulation and policy that are influencing this space. On today's episode, our reporter, Lucy Perrin, will be speaking with Mumford Industries Vice President of Business Development and Marketing, Tina Green. Mumford Industries is a full-service recycling company that has over 25 years in the plastics recycling industry. Tina's been with the company for 18 years now, and will dive into her insights on recycling, the hurdles of promoting sustainability in business, and Mumford Industries' ongoing strides in environmental stewardship. Let's get into it.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lucy. Today, we are excited to host Tina Green from Mumford Industries. And without further delay, I will let Tina introduce herself to you all.
Sure. I'm Tina Green. I'm with Mumford Industries, and we are an industrial, post-industrial plastics recycler located in South Carolina, and we've been in business for over 28 years.
Okay. Can you talk about your journey and also your responsibility at Mumford Industries? Like your previous experiences and what you do now at Mumford?
I began my journey as a rep for waste management. Was not where I thought I was going to work, but it's where I ended up working. And I was with waste management for about 7 years. I was an account rep for them. I left there and was a general manager for a paper recycling facility. So did that for about a year. And during that year and the following year, I was a consultant for large industrial customers on how to save on their waste and options for recycling. So I would go in and read people, customers' bills and say, you should do this, you shouldn't do this, this is saving you money. And during the year that I was a general manager for the paper company and doing consulting, I met Mumford Industries. They were already in business, and I used them as an outlet or as an option for some of the things that I was trying to recycle. When I was with a paper company, I actually took some of the things that Mumford had and recycled for them. So we already had kind of a business partnership at that point. So after consulting for about a year, Mumford came to me and asked me if I would be interested in working exclusively for them, which just made my job easier because when I was consulting, I was responsible for setting up trucks and finding ways to get things moved. And Mumford already had some of that structure. So I could do what I was doing anyway, but do it within the Mumford Industries group. So I went in there as a partner, and I've been there now for 18 years, I think. And I am a business development person, which basically means I go into companies and I show them how to recycle, what they could recycle, what we can take at our facility. Our facility has multiple shredders and grinders. So we take material in from a customer, resize it, reprocess it into a form so it can be reused. Sometimes that's reused by the customer themselves, creating a circular economy type situation. And sometimes it goes into sort of a down cycle product, like it may go into agricultural pipe or a less critical automotive part. So we take things in and grind that stuff up and get it back out into the marketplace to be reused.
Okay, so if I have a question, is when I say sustainability, what does it mean for you?
Well, sustainability as a word is an umbrella in which so many other words live and fight for rank. Sustainability can't exist without recycling. Actually, sustainability became a concept after recycling, primarily as a solution to the environmental crises of the modern generation. The main focus of sustainability is to create processes that are the least harmful to the environment.
Okay, so you talk about processes. How your company has developed technology and new processes in order to have a business and sustainability approach?
The majority of our processes are human related. We have to have people that do that, yes. And we just have the equipment. As far as technologies goes, we have our equipment is set up with magnets to remove metals. Most everything else is done by visual because we try to keep it all of our, we don't take in mixed waste. Everything we have has already been sorted and separated. So most of the time visually, some trash or some garbage that's in there, you can visually do that, but the customers are responsible for keeping it separated and sorted. So we don't have to manually sort a lot. Some we do. I mean, it happens, but yeah.
Okay, so you talk about recycling a lot. How do you think recyclability is in the life of people today? And how do you think business should involve the recyclability in their everyday operations?
Right. Okay, let me take the everyday people part. People are not well educated on what is recyclable and what isn't. And even if they are, we lack in infrastructure to be able to take those recyclable items. So that's something that has to be worked on. And when I say they're not educated, they don't see the importance of it just not being wasteful. I have family members in my own home that I have to say, don't put that in there, put that in here. I mean, and I live with these people. They know what I do. And we need, especially here in South Carolina, we need a statewide message that takes this on. But you'll find in South Carolina that the way our counties are divided up, each county does its own thing. There's not a state recognized way to do any of it. Every state can't take the same recyclable materials because they go to different places. So that makes it difficult. If you live, again, here in South Carolina and you travel from one county to another, what you could do in your home county, you may not be able to do in the county you're visiting. So that does make it difficult. We need a standard in South Carolina. And I'm working on that. I'm with the Department of Commerce, so we're working on that. As far as companies go, I think a lot of the sustainability mandates that they have require them to be sustainable with their materials. The issue there is because these items are commodities, which means there's not a huge return of money to the company for recycling. And a lot of times they don't take the time to separate these materials, and then it has no value at all. So again, it kind of comes down to education on what can happen, when it can happen, how it should happen. And I don't know how any business now is not recycling. I don't know why they're not. So other than labor, it can be labor intensive and it's training intensive. But if you go ahead and get that out of the way and set up standards, then it can work.
So according to you, it's about education. How do you think business can educate people about recycling?
the word sustainable means to be able to do something repeatedly over and over and over again until it's right. In large corporations or businesses, it's not about educating once. It has to be a continuous message. You have to continually remind and show. And that could be to an employee that's been there for 20 years, or if you have employee turnover, every time you have a new employee, that training has to take place again. So it's not a one and done thing. You have to continually have it, for lack of better terms, in their face. It has to be something that is a standard all the time. And I think a lot of companies think they can just say, we're going to do this, and then just walk away, and that's not doable.
So how do you measure this effectiveness and the impact that you have with the recyclability of your company? Like, how your company measure this effectiveness? And
right. We measure it with data, whether it's ours or whether it's data that we provide to our clients. We provide our clients with data as well, and they can track and see based on the ratio of waste to recycling. They can see the trends of whether that's up or down. They can do that way. For us, it's data as well. Our goal is for everything that we bring into our facility to be recycled, all of it. But again, there's the human element. You do end up with trash in recyclables, but we're still at 98% landfill free. We're still only 2% landfill for all that goes through the facility. So that's really good. So that's all. It's just data. It's just numbers. That's how we check that impact for us.
Is your company thinking about another way of sustainability? Because you talk a lot about recycle, but there is other way to be sustainable. And how your company manage this? Are they just focusing on recycle, or they are thinking of other way and new processes?
Well, we do, because we are just a facility. That's a large part of what we do, is the waste that comes in and the lack of waste that goes out the doors. We've changed our lighting, so that's happened. So that's dropped our energy bills. Our facility is neither heated nor air conditioned, so except for the main offices. We don't use a lot of electricity as far as that goes. We keep up our safety standards. When you say that, this is just part of our everyday operation, so we don't always hang a tag of sustainability on it.
Okay, I understand. But you mentioned the ethical part, and I think it's a very important part of the sustainability, and it's in your everyday operations, so maybe you don't notice it, but yes. About the social and ethical, do you have other points that you want to mention?
Again, and because it's part of our everyday, we don't have employee turnover. Our employees stay for a reason. We've got employees that have been there 15 years. I think the least amount of time we have on any one employee is 3 years. They don't leave. Everyone is treated very well. So we do not have employee turnover.
And how do you think they are motivated in this sustainability? Because as you said, it's your main goal, the sustainability. So how do you think they stay motivated in this job, and what motivates them to join Mumford Industry in this sustainability? Do you think they have previously the sustainability in their everyday mind, or they wanted to be part of this? How do you think of this?
No, for us, no. We operate as a manufacturing facility, so I don't think sustainability was in mind when these employees started. This has been about good working conditions, being treated well. I mean, it's just good working conditions. Everyone's treated well. I don't think anyone is there specifically to be sustainable.
Okay. About you, what motivates you to be part of this sustainable journey?
I don't believe in waste. I am a problem solver at heart, not a salesperson. My goal is to be able to help somebody do better than what they're currently doing and be able to provide the options to be able to do that.
You talked about you are a problem solver. I like this. You probably had encountered challenges. Can you talk about last challenges or challenges that retain your attention?
Yes. The most challenging thing that we have right now is for corporations who say they want to be sustainable, but they don't want to pay anybody to do the job. They want to see a return from their recycling, even though it costs us to recycle and the material values are low. That's the challenge right now, is people getting past trying to make their sustainability or their recycling a profit center. It's not a profit center. It was originally waste. It's still waste, except it's not going to the landfill. So getting that message across has been very, very challenging as of late, because commodity markets have dropped low. So the value of the materials is low. And corporations, I'm not sure who they think should take on that low pricing, but it puts it in a place where you can't get it worked out. So it's very difficult right now. Very difficult.
And how do you explain them that it's important and they have to pay for this? How do you manage to gain businesses that want to recycle and want to be part of this?
Right. You lay it out as a business plan, basically. You show them currently what they're spending now, what they could save, and what the potential return may be. Sometimes it's only a break even, where if you put it in the landfill, it costs this. If you recycle it, it costs this. These two things are even, but it's better to recycle. So you can do it that way. You just make a business case for it. It just makes sense. And you can show how equipment may decrease labor costs. Even, you know, I've shared statistics about how much happier employees are if they know that they're doing the right thing and doing a good thing, and that it's easier to retain those employees in a company that's trying to be sustainable.
I like this way of thinking. And if it's a business that's not already involved with you and you want to gain a new customer, a new business, they don't know anything about sustainability and the recycling, how do you explain them?
Well, again, that goes back to it's all still waste. You can either put it in the landfill or you can put it here. And if you put it here, you've done the right thing. You've done the sustainable thing. You've met corporate mandates. If you're in a bid situation against another company, these things come into play in bids, whether or not you are sustainable, and you can use it to your advantage to say that you are doing this. We find that the automotive manufacturers here in South Carolina have requirements from their vendors that they have to do X, that it is part of their bid process that they will, you know, divert as much material away from the landfill as possible. So when you go into a client, you go, that's an advantage for you, is to be able to gain a customer on your end because you're doing the right thing in your facility.
Okay. Thank you. If you don't have anything to add, here is my last question. If you are going to give one piece of advice to students like me looking to have an impact on their career, what would it be?
My advice would be to look beyond the philosophy of sustainability for the physical aspects of what it takes to be sustainable. What is the end prospect of goods going to be? Where are they going to end up? Who's going to manage that? Where is it going to be managed? How is it going to be managed? Get to know those people. Get to know the me's, not just the other sustainability people. Because as I mentioned, part of the problem we have is communication. You can have a philosophy at one level, but if there's nobody to carry out the philosophy, it doesn't matter. Somebody has to be physically doing these things. So if you want to broaden your understanding, get to know those people, whether it's the people making solar panels or the people recycling solar panels, where do they go? Whether it's Maybe it's the compost guy. Maybe you go visit the compost site and hear what's a problem for him, because everybody wants to do it, but nobody knows where it goes and how it gets there. But there is a person that does that. There is a person. Get to know those people, the people that actually hold sustainability up, that actually do the work.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoy getting to know Tina and learning more about Mumford Industries. Her insights into sustainability and the importance of education in recycling highlight how businesses can significantly impact our environmental future. However, that's all the time we have today. Tune in next episode to hear our guest from B540 talk about using recycled materials in the textile industry. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. The Voices of Sustainability podcast is produced by the Darla Moore School of Business, and production was overseen by Dr. Laura Smith from the USC School of Journalism. This program was also made in partnership with Sustain SC. And last but not least, funding was provided by the Alfred N. and Lynn Manos Page Endowment for Sustainability in Business. Thank you.